Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey guys, I know we all really love to put those miles in on the trail. And even if you have amazing trail runners, the best boots on the planet, you're still going to have foot pain. Let's be honest. Anytime you do that kind of serious hiking with, you know, 20 or more extra pounds on your back, your feet are going to tell you about it. One of the things that I have found recently that I love to use is Myoderm. Myoderm is a CBD-infused cream that you can use for pain relief. My favorite is the foot cream because my feet feel it when I do these long hikes. And I don't want to give up the hiking. It's literally half an ounce. So it's something that is not going to take up a bunch of your pack to take this along. But oh my gosh, at the end of a long day of hiking and you get to peel those socks off and give yourself a nice foot rub, your feet are going to thank you for it. I know mine do. It's not greasy, which is kind of a big deal to me. I don't like using greasy stuff on my skin. And this absorbs very quickly. Treat your feet right. There's going to be a link for you in the show notes. It's myoderm.com. Make sure you use the coupon code HIKING at checkout and you'll get 20% off your first order. It does help support the show, so thank you for that in advance. Back to the show.
You are listening to the Hiking Radio Network, where we talk the walk with shows by hikers about hikers for everybody.
The Hiking Radio Network. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's time that you do. You will find links to the other shows in my show notes as well, but you got to go check them out. Mighty Blue on the Appalachian Trail, The Ultimate Midlife Crisis. That's Steve Adams, and he has literally hundreds of episodes for you to binge. He talks to hikers who have thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail, among other things. Check out Jester's Section Hiker podcast. She talks to hikers that are out there taking on these long trails just one section at a time. And go dance upon the earth with Anna Mudbutt on the Trail Dames podcast. I've had the honor of being on her podcast and vice versa. And stay tuned for new shows that we're going to be adding to the network soon. Welcome to Hiking Unfiltered, getting real on the trail. I am Courtney, aka Unfiltered, and we're here to explore the trails together. We'll dive into not just the how-to of hiking, but also the why. Welcome. Welcome to episode number 38 of Hiking Unfiltered, getting real on the trail. I am your host, Unfiltered, and I will be talking today with Michelle Kofer, or Beck, as she's known on the trail. She operates a shuttle service, specifically in the Georgia section. She specifically runs hiker shuttles in Georgia along the Georgia section of the Appalachian Trail. And I was lucky enough to meet her and actually use her services in November of this year when my family and I went for a hike on the AT. So today, we're going to ask Michelle the question, what do trail shuttle drivers do? We had some technical difficulties, so we got to record the show again. So welcome again, even though the audience didn't hear this part. Welcome again, Michelle Cofer.
Thank you, Courtney, for having me again.
So let's start with your trail name. What's your trail name?
All right, my trail name. I've gone back and forth a few times on it and recently just settled on a derivative of my maiden name, which also is just kind of like my old nickname when I was playing soccer. So I am Beck, B-E-C-K.
Ah, okay.
My hiking partner, unbeknownst to her, that was a nickname for me growing up, started kind of giving me a hard time about being bougie about something, right? And BC, Bougie Cofer, became my name. And then she's just like, I'm just going to shorten it to Beck. So I was like, oh, you know what? I had that name growing up, so this works. And it's something that I will respond to and I like.
Okay. Awesome. I found you, Michelle, through a through hiker contact when my husband and son and I went for a section hike on the Appalachian Trail over Thanksgiving break. So the name of your shuttle service is White Blazes Shuttle.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me about your journey to that as a, like, what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. What does that look like? How do you even become a shuttle driver? Why do you become a shuttle driver?
That's actually a really frequent question I get. And it all basically just started with getting out and hiking. And, you know, well, as you know, because you called me for the service, when you are going out with yourself, or you're by yourself or with people, you've got, you know, a few options of how your day can go and how your transportation can go. If you're by yourself, you drive to your trailhead and you either hike out and back to your car, or if you don't want to go back to your car, then you have another endpoint where your car is not located. And if you're by yourself, it's kind of hard to get back to your car unless you walk back to it. And if you are with a group or with friends, same issue where a lot of people will just bring, each person would bring a vehicle. They will usually meet at one point or the other, leave one of their vehicles there, and then they both drive in another vehicle to the end of their hike. And I kind of cut that out by providing that service for you, so you don't have to bring two cars or do a round trip or a hike in and out if you want to keep increasing your miles and keep moving forward. So when I got involved in my own Appalachian Trail, Georgia hiking, I got to a point where I was having to make up miles where my group had gotten ahead of me. And that meant going out by myself. I had contacted a service and thought, you know, this is a really cool job, but I probably can't do this, you know, Monday through Friday, which, by the way, it's not Monday through Friday.
Right.
but, you know, never thought that like this could be something that could replace a traditional
9-to-5 salary
career. Yeah. And right. And as I just said a second ago, if you make yourself available 7 days a week, somebody will call you. So that's been very good for me. And that's how I got into it. So utilizing the services that I provide myself and decided to join the community.
I know that you utilized it yourself, and that was kind of what gave you a heads up to the fact that that even existed as a thing. But what were you doing before you became a shuttle driver?
I was in landscaping. I was a landscaping account manager.
Okay.
And I'd been doing that for several years. Kind of ironic. I was very much tied to that job 7 days a week, where I actually got in trouble for not using my phone on the weekends. And I would purposely go away so that I wouldn't have cell phone service. So I would be, oh, I'm unreachable, you know. And now here I am. I'm you know, available, like I said, 7 days a week. My phone's always going off. I am fortunate with this type of job and you know, being my own boss, I've got the flexibility to turn down a phone call or to block off 2 or 3 days during the week and do what I want to do instead of having to wait for the weekend or not even having a weekend because I'm going to be working all weekend. So,
right.
So that is what I was doing before was landscaping. And it was, I can't believe that I had sort of spent the majority or mostly half of my life just being miserable. Shuttling is so awesome.
Yeah.
The community of hikers and the service providers and all the other, just everybody, the maintainers, everybody that makes up this community is so awesome. So
that's been my experience. But it's also the feedback that I've gotten over and over and over again from people who are either doing, you know, long distance hikes or through hikes or whatever. It's just the hiking community is so generous. There's just so much generosity there. There's so many people. I have had the opportunity because of the podcast to kind of hook into the hiking community, even though I can't really be out there hiking all that much, especially since I live in Southwest Florida, where there's not a whole heck of a hiking community. You know, I'm not in the mountains. We have the Florida Trail here, but, you know, I don't know. I haven't tried to dive in to see if there's any kind of community around the Florida Trail. There probably is. It's just that I haven't connected to it yet. My point is the hiking community has been incredibly generous to me and welcoming to me in so many ways. You know, I had somebody who was a guest on my show who gave us the opportunity to stay in her cabin in Tennessee for a whole week and did not charge us anything. It was amazing. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that I keep seeing over and over again within the hiking community. It's just like, oh, hey, I have this and you need it. And I don't really need it right now. You want to use it? You know, it's great.
Right. Just going to just sort of jump onto that and just say that we had a very similar experience. We did the northern half of the Smokies this past weekend, and big rainstorm and cold weather and everything was moving in. And we had some people, not that we were with, but some people at the shelters we were with that decided they didn't want to push forward and they turned around, but they ended up giving us a tarp that we could string up on the open side of a shelter if we needed it, you know, and they gave us a couple of emergency blankets as well, just to have on hand. And all three of those items came in handy. And not that we would have been, you know, bad without those items, but it definitely made the trip more manageable. So yes, this community is great about giving you the things that they don't need and people with good hearts looking out for you. So
Yeah. A lot of looking out for each other, which is great. With your shuttling, what areas do you, what is your sweet spot? Where do you shuttle hikers the most?
Get a lot of calls, mostly just to get people from point A to point B. And that includes the first 70 miles of the trail are very accessible by vehicle. Since I live in Dahlonega, I'm actually super fortunate to be only an hour away from any AC trailhead in Georgia. And that's on the further side of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Woody Gap is my home trailhead. The furthest that it takes me is, like I said, about an hour to get to any of the other longer ones. People are going from Springer all the way to the state line, or they're going from doing just a weekend hike from Woody Gap up to, you know, Dix Creek Gap. I love being in the forest. I love taking my Jeep and using it for what it's made for. Not a great vehicle to be put on the pavement, of course,
right?
The gas mileage and everything. And it's a little loud. Maybe you can attest to that.
Yeah.
But being in the forest is where I love to be. I love using my car for what it's for. And I just love the forest in general. So that's where I prefer to hang out. But I do the longer runs down to like north of Atlanta to get people from from various transportation hubs up to the park, up to Amicable State Park, or up to Springer Mountain, or basically just wherever they want to go. So,
gotcha. What would you say is the most common demographic that you tend to shuttle around, or do you feel like it's just like a total crapshoot? You just really talk and shuttle people from all over the place, all over the map, literally, and age group. Like, just tell me a little bit of what does that look like?
It's actually, that's kind of funny you ask that, because I kind of wonder why things are the way they are. Okay, so my experience in my vehicle is mostly men. I thought I would have more women once my name got out there, just, you know, with being a female shuttler, maybe would attract more females that would be, you know, just for safety reasons or just whatever, just be more comfortable.
Right.
But when I started looking at like the insights that I can get through my social media accounts and like the followers and those types of demographics, it's majority women. So I don't understand, you know, what the difference is there, but definitely all sorts of ages of people. I tend to probably get a lot of college age to, you know, just in general, like young adult. And then on the other end, around like 50s to 60s, the middle ages, if you will, they usually have like young kids or, you know, maybe more demanding careers or just more responsibilities that they have to worry about and aren't able to get out as much. So that's kind of where I see the most people is.
Gotcha. So we were an anomaly, asking for a shuttle ride in our 40s with a 7-year-old.
I have had some kids. I haven't had a great deal amount of kids, but definitely have had some children. So it's good to see families out there. I love seeing you guys out there and your little guy was so brave during that cold. So.
Yeah, he's a Florida kid. So that was super novel to him. You know, we parked at Amicalola. You picked us up there and you took us up to mountain crossings, essentially, Wallasee at Neal Gap. And we get out there and Jacob was like, why are there all those shoes in the tree? It's like, okay, so the tree. Let's talk about the tree. He was like, I'm not going to give up. I'm not throwing my shoes in that tree. Right. And
for him.
Yeah. And we, well, at that moment, he hadn't stepped foot on the trail yet. So he was pretty brave at that moment. And then we got, you know, we did a, you know, a Sobo hike over Flood Mountain to, Lance Creek is where we camped. You know, he's such a Florida kid getting out and putting on his gloves and all that kind of stuff. And we stopped partway up Blood Mountain for a little snack break. And there was some water that had been, you know, dripping down a large face of granite that froze. And he was just like, he's never seen ice in the wild. So he was just like, wow, look at the ice. And it didn't come out of a refrigerator. You know, it's like, yeah, that's actually how ice happens out in the rest of the world. But yeah. I know when you shuttled us, I asked you a little bit about your hiking experience. And how long have you been hiking? Is this a fairly new hobby for you?
It is a fairly new hobby. I grew up in Stone Mountain, Georgia. We've got this gigantic granite rock that's where we would go hike all the time. So I've been up and down that, but I'd never been to mountains, like a mountain range, a forest to hike. And just was not exposed to that when I was growing up. So when my husband and I got married, we had lived in the northern suburbs of Atlanta, very ignorant to the fact that we even had mountains up in North Georgia. And we were only, you know, like an hour away. Once we started kind of exploring and deciding that we wanted to move away from the suburbs, we looked up this way. And once we got up here and started getting out and about, I took my kids to like a bunch of waterfalls. And so we started off doing waterfall hikes, and that led to me wanting to do more and wonder what else was out there and, you know, ask people what their suggestions were and got into groups online. And lo and behold, somebody posted the picture of the tree at Bly Gap. And if you know anything about this tree, it is just a huge, massive, gnarly, spindly looking tree. It's old. It's gigantic. And I wanted to climb that tree. when I found out where it was and how I'd have to get up there, I was like, oh, well, you know, I've always been active my whole life. I'll start backpacking. I like camping now. I like backpacking. I mean, I like hiking, and, you know, you combine the two and I'm good to go. And it's only 78 miles. I'll be good. And so I set out the goal to get the whole state done. And my goal was to get to that tree. So that was how I got into hiking, was I wanted to go see that tree.
Wow. That's a really interesting story.
I finally got the opportunity last summer when we finished the state a couple years ago, but we finished it literally 2 days after Christmas in 6 inches of snow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was sunset when we got the state line. We were done at that point, and we were going to be turning around and go back to the car, and we were not interested in doing the extra quarter mile to get up to where that tree was. So last year when we started again to continue our journey north, I got to see the tree. So it was beautiful.
Is it your goal then you want to do like lash hiking and do long sections at a time and section hike the whole trail? Is that your goal? Or are you wanting to do a through hike or will you just take it on whatever terms you can get it?
I'm sort of a cross between a few different decisions right now. And initially, yes, I wanted to do a through hike. And when I'm on trail, I kind of go back and forth with, you know, is this something that I could do like, you know, for 6 months?
Right.
Because when I get done with a section hike, you know, you get in with a section hike, you've been out there for, let's just say for us, we're out there for about 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting used to your pack being low weight. You know, you're looking forward to being done and getting to like a bed and, you know, all of those cool amenities that you miss when you're on trail.
Mm-hmm.
But then with a through hike, you have to go back out and do it all over again. Time and time and time and time again. All you're doing is just like hiking for your next resupply, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I feel about that, because when I'm done with my 3 or 4 days, like I can't imagine strapping on the weight that I started with and continuing to do that. Now, I do know, obviously, that you will be in better condition and you do condition yourself as you are hiking to be able to handle those fluctuations in weight. But when I'm only going out like 2 or 3 times a year, I'm out there going, you know what? I just don't think I can do this. So I am going back and forth about it. I've already said twice that I don't think I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to continue section hiking with my friend who does want to section hike and does not want to through hike. So there's that as well. I want to continue, you know, hiking with her because we're having a good time and we're doing everything in consecutive order. We're not jumping around. So I just want to keep going.
Yeah.
Having a good time.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I have heard people who have through hiked it, that one of the best things that you can do is treat it like it's just a big row of section hikes. Like you are really hiking for, you know, 3 or 4 days and going into town and having a zero or getting a resupply and treating it as if each leg is a section hike instead of looking at it as the entire thing, you know, because it really is. It's that whole concept of eating the elephant, right? One bite at a time. As a shuttle driver, and I know this happens a lot to other people who have somebody seated with them for a long time, like a cab driver or a hairdresser. As a shuttle driver, do you get a lot of people unpacking things with you? Are they telling you stories and it's sort of like asking your advice?
I get obviously we can have all sorts of conversations, and you know, I've actually had a ride where, you know, that ride lasted 3 hours, and that's a long time in the car with somebody you don't know.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff comes up, you know? Yeah. I get people that sometimes unload on me about their marriages. I sometimes just, you know, work is getting to them or whatever it is. Maybe they've gone through something traumatizing that it just is easier to talk to a stranger than to talk to somebody, you know. I think that's a lot of it as well.
Right.
I find that to be the case sometimes too, you know, you know, this person doesn't know you, and I mean, they might judge you, they might not judge you, but you may or may not ever see them again. And you can just unload like whatever you want. But I do have a few rules in my car though. I have to bring these up. Okay. So we do not talk about politics for obvious reasons. We do not talk about religion for obvious reasons. And we don't talk about college football.
Kind of the same thing. College football, right. You know, that's a lot of people follow that religiously.
Those three topics are, yep, especially here in the South. So those three topics are off limits.
Oh, that's funny. What about basketball? Do you talk about college basketball, or is that off the table too? It's almost as bad.
I don't watch basketball.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So I wouldn't have much to contribute.
Okay. Gotcha. You have evolved this to be your kind of your full-time gig. Who would you say are your biggest advocates and partners as you have been continuing to grow this as a business?
That's a good question. I would say just first and foremost, the family. When Thru Hiker season hits, this year I worked 62 days in a row.
Wow.
62 days. And most of those days are at least 12 hours.
Wow.
So I'm hardly ever home for about 3 or 4 months out of the year. And they support that. We make it work. And I do appreciate, you know, their willingness to go along with it because I think they understand that it's good for all of us for our happiness levels, because I'm happy doing what I wanted, you know, being at work.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come home in a terrible mood. I was always stressed out, you know. And I have my own stressors with this, but it's definitely a lot. It's made me a lot happier. So my parents also have been very supportive. My dad's always concerned for my safety, which
I was going to say,
fine and expected and great.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you had pushback on security or safety? Because, you know, I suppose it could be dangerous for a man to be doing this shuttling, too. I mean, it's not like men are immune to violence.
Absolutely.
Or whatever, but exactly. It is a little bit more of a risk, I would say, as a woman. What have you done to assure yourself and to assure your family that this is like you're going to be okay?
I guess the best answer to that would be that my actions sort of reassure my family. The way that I carry myself, the knowledge that I've, gathered and just learned. I immersed myself in everything hiking when I was just getting started, when I wasn't really getting a lot of calls because I was just, you know, getting going. I just drove around everywhere and familiarized myself with every single point that I would have to be at, how long it would take me to get there. I take pictures of everything. So, you know, that's, I guess, sort of secondary after the fact, but I do have things like that in place. I don't know. I just pride myself that I grew up in Atlanta and I'm a city girl. So, I'm really just, vigilant, and I'm always aware of my surroundings, and I just feel like I can take care of myself. I mean, I know I'm not immune to any, you know, everything, but that's the mindset that I have. That's the mindset that I carry. And I hope that it exudes confidence and sort of an attitude of, you know, hey, maybe we don't want to mess with this one or something. So,
right. Have you partnered up with some hostels or other hiker services to help grow your shuttle service and vice versa?
We've had hostels and establishments like that in Georgia since well before I've even been interested in the hiking up here. But one of these hostels opened the same year that I began my business. And so we've kind of formed a really, really strong bond. They're right in my home area. But Above the Clouds opened in February of 2020. And I got to see them grow and take off. And we bounce a lot of business off each other. And I'm real fortunate to know these guys. They're just to let your audience know, they're located between Gooch Gap and Woody Gap in Georgia. And they are the first hostel or the last hostel that you'll see if you're starting or ending your hike going north or south. So I love those guys up there. And then up in Hiawassee, Georgia, which is right before you will cross the border when you hike, got a really cool couple up there that are running Hostel Around the Bend. And that is a half-mile walk from Dix Creek Gap down the paved road. They've done a really good job of renovating an old hostel and bringing it back to life. I really love both of those groups of people.
Awesome. Yeah, and Dix Creek Gap is that's actually where I originally got on my first ever AT hike was at Dick's Creek. We went south from there. So to the first shelter that we found.
South, yeah.
Yeah. So are you willing to go for a lightning round of questions?
A lightning round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. So lightning round. What is your favorite snack in your pack?
Peanut butter M&Ms.
Peanut butter M&Ms. Awesome. That combines like two perfect things. Love it. What about...
Well, it's also very calorie-dense foods. So you... And I try to pack calorie-dense foods. So you're looking at things that have high calories but are low in weight.
Right.
And the peanut butter M&Ms fits everything. So.
Got it. What about your feet? How do you like to treat your feet? Do you wear trail runners or boots?
I've gone back and forth. Currently, I am in trail runners. I was always swearing by boots. I thought that's just what you hiked in. You know, right. I didn't even know this trail runner thing existed until I got in this community. And I just, that was just what I've conditioned to do was hike in boots. And so I made the switch this year, in fact, to trail runners. I like them, but, you know, Ultra makes a trail runner boot. They make their Lone Peak trail runners as a mid. And I've used those before, but I think I might go back to those.
Do you, for your sleep system, do you prefer a hammock or a tent?
Tent.
What is your favorite trail name that you've heard?
Lion farts. I can't get over that. I don't know how. And it was a girl. It was a female.
Right.
I don't know how. I don't know.
Okay.
I would love to hear the story behind that. I'm sure it's hilarious, but I don't know the story.
Okay, but so yeah, we'll just put it. We'll put it out there then on the show. Like, if you know a hiker named Lion Farts, we gotta meet this person.
I believe I'm almost certain that it was this year that she hiked. So
okay,
not sure if this person finished their through hike or how far they got, but surely that name went up and down the trail somewhere.
So. Right. Okay. When you're out on trail and you need a little extra motivation, or maybe you're getting a little bit bored, do you like to listen to music or listen to books or podcasts? Do you listen to anything?
It really just kind of depends on what kind of terrain I'm hiking, whether I'm going, you know, like an up or a downhill, and kind of how far I've already gone without some kind of music or something. I can't listen to it all day long. And I really like, you know, just listening to the sounds of nature. But other things too is I just want to be aware of my surroundings. Like I mentioned earlier, I need to know if somebody's coming up behind me, because I don't like people walking behind me. And some people don't let you know, and that's even without my headphones in. So I really need to know that for, you know, for humans, for animals, whatever. So the earphones will come in and out, but I could definitely go all the whole weekend with no earphones, but sometimes it's nice to have.
Gotcha. So orientation, do you like to use an app on your phone or an old school map?
I really wish I knew how to use a map. That is probably a skill I need to work on just in case, you know, one day.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely prefer using my phone, the sure, you know, and you've talked about it or heard before, but the Far Out app, for the old school people out there, that's the Gut Hooks app. Just very, very invaluable app for all the things that you get from it, from all of your waypoints, and water sources and shelter locations. And then what I really, really love about it is that, you know, people can comment on the status of the things that you're looking for. You know, whether you have a good shelter, you know, with bears or lots of mice, or the water's not great, or, you know, or you're coming upon the shelter and you don't know that it's a half mile off trail.
Right.
You don't want to go to that one. You might want to, you know, skip it or you know, go camp, self camp or something like that. So, and then another one, it's not an app really, but website. And I mean, they do have an app for it, but it's web-based, and, it's called atweather.org, and it is, you know, like AT Weather, but it also has Pacific Crest Trail weather reports on there, and it's just a more refined, you know, weather tool than what you would get from like a corporate, you know, like a weatherchannel.com or anything that you would find in like a metro local news station or something like that.
Gotcha.
So I use both of those religiously when I'm on trail.
Okay. Caffeine. Do you like to take caffeine on the trail? And if so, do you like coffee or tea?
I do like to take caffeine on trail, but I don't because it's a pain in the butt to try to make proper sweet tea on trail. It just takes too long, you know, and I'm not going to drink it hot. I want it with ice. It's just not going to work out. So I do not bring caffeine. I'm not a coffee drinker. I love the smell of coffee. My stomach can't handle it. So coffee is a no-go, but I would love to bring regular Southern sweet tea if I could, but it's just not feasible.
Okay. What's the next trail that you want to explore?
I am really interested in doing the Bartram Trail, which covers part of North Carolina and part of Georgia. The majority of it's in North Carolina, but I think the whole trail from end to end is a little over 100 miles, maybe like 115 miles. And North Carolina's got about 70 something, and Georgia's got, I think, 35. So I can't really commit to doing a through hike of that trail just because of the time that it would take, that I would need to take off. But doing Georgia is very doable as a 3 or 4 day there, and I'd love to get that section complete.
Okay, gotcha. Filters. What's your favorite kind of filter to use on trail?
I like the Sawyer Squeeze. There's two different versions. You can get the little bitty ones called the Sawyer Mini. I have not used that, but I don't hear great things about it ever. So I just went ahead and went with the full size one, which still isn't very big, but
I called the show Hiking Unfiltered because the idea was I wanted to present hiking in all of its many, many aspects, not just the, oh my gosh, this is amazing, and we're looking at waterfalls and butterflies, but all of the things, including the mental stress that it can give you and the mental healing that it can give you. Tell me about how you want to show up in a more unfiltered way, or that you are showing up already in an unfiltered way.
I am in my 40s, and I recently discovered that I am on the autism spectrum. And if you talk to anybody who's autistic or, you know, involved in the autistic community, there's a term that gets thrown around a lot. It's called masking. And basically it's just as you would sort of think, where you have your own unique personality, but maybe that personality is not jiving with the rest of the world, and you throw up a mask to fit in to whatever situation that you're in, whether it's a work group, whether you're in school, you know, sometimes people will have different personas when they're around, you know, like family members or other friend groups or whatnot. So growing up like that, it's exhausting. And when I discovered that I was autistic, you start peeling off these layers of these masks that you were sort of forced to put up to survive. Survive social situations, you know, stuff like that. And so as I am on this new path of self-discovery, I'm peeling off these masks and I'm peeling off these layers, and that's causing me to, you know, be more of my authentic self. And some people like it, some people don't, because I'm not the person that they thought I was, or the person, the mask that I was putting up for whatever group I was in. So anyways, that's my answer as far as being unfiltered. I'm trying to not be the person that somebody wants me to be. I'm going to be my own unique Michelle. So
I love that.
That's what that means to me.
Your own unique Michelle. I love that. I love that. Well, thank you again. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your crazy shuttle schedule to come on the show. And I, if you are out there looking for a ride in Georgia, you got to contact White Blazes Shuttle, because you're not only going to get somebody who is incredibly responsive and very, very very helpful and knowledgeable. You're going to get a chance to talk with this amazing person. So along the way, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Thank you
For your shuttle services too.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I was really kind of blown away that you even asked. This is so cool. And I've definitely been, you know, I was not into podcasts before, but I've definitely listened to several of your episodes so far, and I'm enjoying that. So, you know, I appreciate the introduction to that, because I really had never even done podcasts before.
Awesome.
So it's a win-win.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. Thanks again, Michelle Beck Kofer, for coming on the show. It was awesome to connect with her again. She really is growing her business. And I always love learning about people who have taken that passion and expanded it to become something where, you know, what they say, right? If you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And it sounds like she is getting into that groove. And I have all kinds of respect and admiration for somebody who can step out there like that and take on a new career when it's a big leap of faith and kind of scary to do something like that. So props to you, Michelle, and thanks again for coming on the show. If you are in need of a shuttle service in the Georgia section of the Appalachian Trail, I would highly recommend giving her a shout. We'll have links in the show notes so that if you need her services or you know somebody who does, that you can give her some shuttle business. Thanks for joining me once again. If you are enjoying this podcast, or maybe it's even just the first time you've heard it, I would love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at hikingunfiltered@gmail.com. Tell me about your topic ideas, your guest suggestions, or maybe you would like to be a guest on the podcast. I love it if you gave me a shout out on your socials. You'll find links to my socials in the show notes. I am Hiking Unfiltered on Facebook and on Instagram. You can find me there, and I'd love to interact with you there. Can I ask you a favor? Please leave me a review, some stars, to help other people know that the podcast exists. Show them how to subscribe as well. You're going to find links in the show notes to the show sponsors that were mentioned. Go check them out. It does help support the show. That's it for this episode. Until next time, my trail family, happy trails.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.